Amen. Thank you, Pastor. We appreciate the hospitality and all that's been done for us, even during our stay here in Connecticut. And I'm just blessed to be with you people of God, blessed to be with your pastor, and such an awesome man of God, such an awesome ministry and vision. And we want to say God richly bless each and every one of you. I would not have minded, amen, if that's the proper way to say it, or I would not have minded, amen, this good man of God to keep on going, because he was preaching right along the lines that I'm going to be preaching tonight. So I just receive that as a confirmation of what God's doing. Amen. I'm excited about the broadcast. We want to say each and every person that's watching and listening, amen, you're welcome, amen, to be a part of this service, and amen, contact this great church, amen, and get connected. I'm amazed at how awesome you people are. Thank you for letting me be here. I'm excited about tonight. And everybody say tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Amen. We're going to have Holy Ghost Sunday. Amen. Around Abundant Life. Praise God. And I just love the vision that is going on and being casted. Amen. In this church and ministry. Abundant Life Center. That's going to be so awesome. And I've seen some of the artwork and the different corporate brand to that, and it is just awesome. It's amazing. Pray for the Church of Champions. And once again, amen, pray for us. Amen, churchofchampions.com. Be sure to log on and see what the Lord's doing. And I just opened a new website at shanewest.com, and I think y'all be blessed if you check it out sometime. And I shared with your pastor, and if you would pray with me concerning a prayer request that I have. I've traveled 16 years as a full-time evangelist, and I just settled down launching the Church of Champions in Clarksville, Tennessee, and we're praying for musicians and praying for youth ministries and people to come in and receive this glorious gospel experience. Amen. But I shared with your pastor, I would like to stay connected with 12 churches. And I feel like one weekend each month in a 12-month calendar year, the Lord is going to give me the ability to travel and still fulfill my passion of reaching souls and preaching revival services like the ones that we're preaching here in Norwich, Connecticut. And I've got a man that's committed to me for November. We just had revival in Texas, and now maybe I can come back every December and be with you good folks. Amen. I would love that. Praise God. And now I'm not going to come and dress up like Santa Claus or anything. So I felt some of that even spirit, you know, y'all say, well, he'd make a good Santa Claus. No. Amen. But I might be able to just come, and I don't want to just limit myself for once a year, but we want to come here as often as you'd allow me. And thank you once again for being so gracious to us and making provision for me to be here. Would you stand for the reading of the Word of the Lord? I've got to send a shout out to a good friend that told me he'd be viewing this webcast tonight. Anybody in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, you need to go and visit New Life Deliverance Ministries. Pastor Jamie Tharp, a good friend of mine, has a revival church there in Knoxville, and I'm about 4 hours from Knoxville in Clarksville, Tennessee. So anybody that's in Tennessee, if you're in Clarksville, come see me. Knoxville, go see my friend, Pastor Jamie Tharp. Amen. In the Bible, I want you to turn your attention to the book of Proverbs tonight. I believe this message that the Lord has given me is going to live far beyond just this service here and this broadcast. I've got a burden here to allow the Lord to use me. And this is a message, let me say, as you go to Proverbs chapter number 7, that this is something that you've got to receive and get in your spirit. It's not something that you're going to be able to mentally evaluate. It's not something that will be in your favorite sermon catalog per se. But if we can receive this, Brother John, in our spirit, I believe there's going to be lives touched and forever changed, even with the help of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can do more in 5 minutes than I can do in 5 weeks. Amen. So if you'll receive this, amen, and let this word be received tonight, I'm believing God to help us. Proverbs chapter number 7. Amen. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement. I looked through my window, Solomon said, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man that was void of understanding. He was passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. Now check this out. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, the Lord just gave me a revelation of that just about 15 minutes ago. Twilight is the time where it's becoming dark, and it's not yet dark, but it's far from being lit or lighted. Twilight is when you can barely see. It's not all the way dark, but the sun has set. This boy journeyed for some time. He walked around for some time. He started when the sun went down and it was twilight. And then in the evening it got dark. In the black and the dark night, he wandered for a while. But behold, there met him, verse 10 said, a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Verse 26 and verse 27. This harlot hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Isaiah chapter number 6. This last message in this three-part series of turning minuses into pluses. Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Verse 6, the one flew unto me having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity has been taken away. Thy sin has been purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Amen. I'd like to preach with the help of the Holy Ghost this final message on turning minuses into pluses. I'd like to preach simply, wanted, God's church. Wanted. I've got a wanted sign I'm going to proclaim here tonight. God is wanting His church to be His church. Lay your Bibles down one more time. Raise your hands towards heaven and ask God to bless Brother West. Father, your word is already anointed. For the next little while, God, anoint my lips to preach. Thus saith the word of the Lord. Help me to hide behind Calvary for the next few minutes and anoint these lips and anoint the ears to hear what the Spirit would say to your people. We'll be careful to give you the glory and all the praise. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Give the Lord the best hand clap of praise you could give one more time before you're seated. Clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in honor to the word of the Lord. Amen. We read here in the divine library of God the text concerning the man of wisdom. Amen. Wisdom has been mentioned in this service thus far. And wisdom is something that we all, amen, need more of. Can I get a witness? He that winneth souls is wise. God give us wisdom. God give us understanding. We read here the account of Solomon as he told off on himself. He said, at the window of my house, I walked over and I pierced through the casement. And something caught my eye. So said the wisdom of Solomon. So said the wise man. Something caught my attention. I saw a young man that was void of understanding. And I watched him. I looked. I checked him out as he walked towards this harlot's house. And in the twilight, in the evening, in the dark of the night, I saw him walk towards this woman that the Bible said was subtle at heart, and she had the attire of a harlot. Amen. And we could have read the preceding verses of Scripture and found out that this woman that was subtle at heart began to entice this young man. She said, basically, my husband is away on a business trip, and I've made the bed with fine linens, and if you come in, we could, amen, be doing our thing behind closed doors all night long because my husband's not going to be home for some time. And the man of wisdom, he quickly said, behold, her house is the house to hell, the chambers of death. Amen. Apparently Solomon knew, amen, this woman's history because she is noted as a woman that had brought down many wounded. Yea, many had been slain by her. Amen. In her chambers was death. In her, amen, house was hell. They knew not that the dead was buried there. But Solomon knew because he was the one with wisdom. Oh yeah, when he could have prayed for riches, he prayed for wisdom. When he could have prayed for wealth and popularity, he prayed for wisdom. When he could have prayed for clothing or new stretched chariots and, amen, tabernacles. No, he prayed for wisdom. He had a revelation early on that if you can get wisdom and gain wisdom, you'll gain favor. If you gain favor, you'll gain wealth. You'll gain prosperity and blessings. And somebody help me right now. Amen. Solomon, I feel the Holy Ghost, was a man of wisdom. So great was his wisdom that early in his life, he displayed that wisdom when two prostitutes brought to him a living baby. For each had a child. Amen. But one child died in the night. Amen. And so they brought the living child to Solomon. Amen. Because this was the first time that these two, amen, women of ill repute, these prostitutes, these streetwalkers, had an opportunity to hold something in innocence and to look into the innocent eyes of this baby. And for the first time in each of their lives, they felt unconditional love and innocence in their arms. Amen. And so they were fighting over whose child this was. Neither one of them wanted to accept the fact that their child died, and they both wanted to embrace this living child. And so the two were fighting over the one, and the two brought the one child, amen, to Solomon. And Solomon said, bring me a sword. Amen. Everybody, amen, was shocked at his words. And amen, it blew their mind as they saw him grab that sword as if to cut the one living child into two pieces, as if to cut the one child in half. And then all of a sudden a woman, amen, the one of the two, amen, rose up and said, do the child no harm. Go ahead and give that baby to this other woman. And the Bible said that Solomon then proclaimed, this is the real mother, because I've seen the true mother's love come forth. Somebody help me right now. Everybody was amazed. The sword was not to really divide, but to heal. The sword was not really to kill, but it was to make whole a situation. And when your man of God or the ministry comes to this unfettered pulpit with the sword of the Lord, we're not drawing a sword in vain. We're not drawing a sword to try to divide, amen, or to kill, amen. But the word of God shall accomplish that which it is intended to do. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And we need the sword to bring wholeness into our life. We need the sword to bring restoration into our homes. Can somebody help me preach? I feel the Holy Ghost. Man, I'm glad I'm preaching on cable television on Sunday. Wish I was preaching on it here tonight. Praise God. I want you to know the sword will bring life. But something bad goes wrong with Solomon. He watches this boy as the boy goes to hell. I can't preach to Solomon tonight. I can't resurrect him, but if I could, I'd like to ask him, Solomon, what was missing in your life? You had wisdom and understanding of God. You knew who God was. You knew the ways of God. But Solomon, could we say, sir, that amongst all of your wisdom, you were missing a burden for the lost? With the wisdom that God gave you, why didn't you leave your house? Why didn't you walk away from that window and go out to the street and warn that boy and tell that young man, turn away, don't go that way. Come into my father's house. Come into my house. Let's talk about wisdom. Let's talk about the good things of God. Somebody help me while I preach. Solomon was missing a burden. He stood there at the window of life and watched the world go to hell. I can't preach to Solomon, but I can preach to you here under the sound of my voice. I can preach to those watching this webcast by way of the World Wide Web. And I'd like to ask the church, amen, what is our problem? We have wisdom. We have understanding. We have revelation of who Jesus is. But we, like Solomon, are guilty so many times of standing at the window of life and we're watching the world go to hell. And God said, we need to turn minuses into pluses by getting a burden for the lost and getting a burden for the dying and getting a burden for the young people that's void of understanding. Can somebody help me tonight? We're missing a burden. We're missing a desire to leave this house and go to the streets and tell the world, turn around, don't go that way. Her house is the house of hell, the chambers of death. Turn around, come to our house. Come on, put those hands together. You know I'm preaching right. Solomon, you stood there and watched. You're guilty. And we're guilty tonight for not having a burden. And I'm not preaching about an Easter rally. I'm not preaching about a once every year outreach. The place that God gave me a revelation of this one God Jesus name message. Amen. In Fresno, California, you could bank on it. Every year at Easter, the church is going to divide up into teams. Red team's going to go against yellow team. Yellow team's going to fight blue team. We're going to pass out tickets and try to, amen, have people come to our Easter drama, our Easter service. And we're going to calculate numbers. And we're going to run people through our churches, amen, like cattle in a stable. Amen, we're just looking for a number. Somebody might as well help me. Amen, and we'd have cheerleaders get up, rah, rah, blue team, rah, rah, yellow team, and the winning team gets to eat steak at a barbecue or a picnic. Amen, so let's go out and reach the lost. Oh, but I'm not preaching about an outreach once a year. I'm not preaching about an activity once a year. I'm preaching that soul winning needs to be a lifestyle. Soul winning needs to be a way of life. We got to possess a burden. We've got to possess, amen, a desire. Give me children, lest I die. Somebody help me. ever have felt the touch of heaven. I feel the touch of heaven right here. Give me a burden to go and win somebody to God. God gave this message to me some time ago in a revival service as I watched a visitor come down to an old-fashioned altar and weep her way through to an experience in God. And I watched that woman for over an hour pray and seek God. And we helped her pray. And she had a marvelous experience with God. The pastor that I was preaching for in California at that time, he asked the lady to testify before he dismissed the congregation. She had eyes that were swollen and puffy from weeping and crying. She had been in the altar seeking her God. And she stood and testified, and it smote my heart. It pricked my heart. I can remember it as if it was yesterday. She said, "Pastor, thank you for letting me come to the service. And I found something tonight that I've been looking for all of my life." She said, "I've never been to a church. This is the first time I've been to a church. And not only was God good enough to meet me here," she said, "oh, I'll be coming back." Everybody got excited to hear those words. But then all of our hearts were smote when she said the reason why she'd come back. She said, "Oh yeah, not only did God bring me here, but He led me to a church where I know somebody, and I don't feel like a stranger, Pastor. You see your organ player up there." And she named the organ player by name. She said, "I didn't know that she went to church." She said, "I've been working with her for over 17 years at the IRS Center in Fresno, California. I never knew, Sister So-and-so, that you went to church. If you would have invited me, I'd have come years ago. If you'd have told me about how good this God of yours was, I'd have come years ago. I didn't know you played the organ in church. Oh, but I'm so glad that I see that you're here, and I'll start coming to this church now. I saw the revival poster on a telephone pole. That's what brought me to the church service. And I'm so glad that y'all let me come." Oh yeah. Ain't that how it is in Pentecost? We got men and women that can play the instruments and women that could tickle the ivories all service long. And we know how to testify. And we know how to look Pentecostal. And we know how to go through the motions. But my question is, does your coworker know that you go to church? Does your family that's lost, do they know that you're praying and that you've got a burden? Somebody help me while I preach. Oh, there's something missing here. We need a burden. We need a fresh desire to reach the lost at any cost. We've got to reach the lost. Our wisdom is not going to surpass our void for having a burden. I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I go to an apostolic church. Well, if you're so glad about it, why aren't you telling others about it? Come on, somebody, look at me right now. When was the last time you wept over somebody? When was the last time you handed, amen, a tract or an invitation? Right now in Clarksville, Tennessee, I've ordered 5,000 invitations, amen, and 1,000 door hangers. And after January 1, we're going to hit the streets like never before. But let me tell you something. It's going to take more than us just looking Pentecostal. The wisdom that we have, like the wisdom of Solomon, will not justify us staying in our homes, guarding what we love, and being isolated. You see, I want to preach, and I feel a prophetic anointing upon me tonight. We're seeing Pentecostal ranks really go from separation to isolation. You see, we don't want, we're afraid to get around the world because really we want to be in the world. That's why some young girls in Pentecostal churches, they don't want to hang out with high school girls and try to win them at school. They're afraid of them because little girls in Pentecost have a spirit where they want to go put on a pair of tight-fitting jeans. And because they don't have the victory that they need to possess, it hinders their ability to be a witness around the world. We've come out from among them, but we need to go and reach them. Somebody help me right now. That's why I want to go on record, and you can like it or lump it, but I think it's amazing, amen, how organizations, amen, will refuse to be on television or even advertise their services, amen, to the lost and the dying by the media of television. And I was amazed to be able to watch a streaming webcast from Columbus, Ohio, by way of the World Wide Web, namely the Internet. And I can minimize that streaming broadcast that looks just like television on my computer. I can minimize that and do a Google search and type in the word sex and have every kind of filth and perversion come up on my computer screen, amen, that's imaginable. But yet we're going to vote down to put a commercial on television and give several thousand people access, amen, to the Internet. It's a double standard. It's hypocrisy in the truest form. And I say it's time that we as the church arise and reach the lost at any cost and help somebody know about the church. And I heard a preacher preach in Texas that he can control the Internet, but he can't control a video. I think that's a lying preacher. If you can control the Internet, you surely can control what video you put in a monitor. Come on, somebody. Let's quit being hypocrites. Let's reach out and be the church. Wanted. Wanted. God's church. Give the Lord the best hand clap of praise. Come on, do that again, somebody. I baptized a good man a few weeks ago. I made mention of that Thursday night, I believe. And Brother John, his family came to witness the baptism. And his family had not stepped into a church for nearly 25 years. And when they came in, the Lord touched them. And the Lord ministered to them. And after that baptism, and after that Tuesday night service at a restaurant, my friend's brother asked me, "Do you think you'll grow here in Clarksville, Tennessee?" And I said, "Yes, sir. I believe we're going to blow up and have an awesome church." I said, "But let me ask you something, my friend. Do you think we'll grow?" He had not been to church in 25 years, and his words reached out and slapped me. He said, "Well, Shane, the only way that you won't grow is if people don't hear you." Any sinner, including myself, that walks into your church and hears you is going to help you and be behind you because I feel that you're true and I feel that you're real. And the only way that your church won't grow is if people don't hear you. I'm going to make it as possible for people to hear me as my possible ability and my ability in God. Come on, somebody. Wanted. God's church that's not just worried about our little pity parties, our little problems, our little isms and schisms, but there's a lost and a dying world that we've got to reach. And this takes me to my text. Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. Send me. I remember when I first got on the internet back in the late 90s. I'm a high school dropout. God's given me favor and an ability to be a blessing to churches and ministries through web design and different things. But I'm a high school dropout. I have no idea, amen, nor would I know how to calculate programming and different things that your men around here know how to do. But when I first got on the internet, I was on America Online, and I personally don't have the time to do as much postings and things that I would like to do, and perhaps someday I will, but I remember when I first got involved in the internet, Sister Atkinson, I went to this America Online chat room, and we started, it was called First Church, and we started talking, a lot of Pentecostals was in there, and so this girl said, she saw my screen name, Shane West, and she said, are you Shane West? I thought, oh, this girl must be blonde. Amen. Yeah, if my screen name is Shane West, I may be Shane West. Are you the Shane West that went to Fresno High School? I am. Are you the Shane West that graduated in 1984? Lord, I'm feeling old here tonight. And y'all help me preach. I'm not going to preach much longer. I'm getting hungry. I said, that's me. She said, you was the biggest jerk I'd ever met. And I said, who's this? You know, and I'm typing. She said, you dated my sister, Lisa. And then all of a sudden, I knew who she was. She said, you know, my mom hated you and my dad didn't like you. And we never could understand what our little sister saw in you. You was a druggie and you was a drug addict and you was a jerk and had your Camaro and you thought you was popular. And, you know, but really you was a jerk, Shane. And I said, well, you know what, sis? I said, thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace. I said, I got saved and I'm a preacher now. And that kind of blew her mind. And she said, well, I guess God can save jerks. And she just kept on and telling my business in the chat room, you know. Some people are awful good at that, aren't they? So I had about all that I could swallow. And I said, hey, wait a minute, Denise. Let me ask you a question, sis. Are you a Christian? She said, oh, yes, Shane, I'm saved. I said, how long have you been saved? She said, I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 5 years old. I said, you've been saved since you was five? She said, yeah, I've been saved that long. I said, well, Denise, let me ask you a question. All the days that you saw me as a drug addict at Fresno High, all the days that I knocked on your door, aiming to take your sister out on a Friday night or a Saturday night, all the times that we sat around a table, how come you never told me about Jesus Christ? If you were saved, why didn't you help this jerk? Why didn't you help this drug addict? I'll tell you why. Because a lot of God's people, amen, stand at the window of life and they watch the world go to hell. She knew I was lost, but couldn't testify. She knew I was going to hell, but would not witness and say, don't go that way. Turn around. Let me introduce you to a God that cares. Come on, somebody, you ain't helping me. Athanasius said, if I was a Christian like some profess to be, I'd get down on my hands and knees and go through city streets begging sinners to find God. That's what an atheist said. But we're so busy with our own problems. And we're praying and we're crying over things that are not eternal. We're praying and crying over blessings or a job. But if we wept that many tears for a sinner, maybe we'd have more visitors here tonight. You can say, ouch, oh me, or amen. It don't matter. Wanted. God's church. Where's that spirit? Like that woman of faith that said, give me a child, lest I die. Yeah. Yeah. Solomon, you stood there and you watched that boy go to hell. And all of your wisdom and understanding didn't get you out of the house. Didn't get you to a place that you'll throw up your hands and warn that young man. What's God going to have to do to give you a burden? Timing is everything. And we need to be more sensitive as the hour draws nigh. I feel the Lord. I'm closing. You know what's a terrible thing to come into contact with? A sour-faced Pentecostal. There was a woman that was on the bus in her street corner, her city street corner, going home. And right before her final stop, they passed a hospital. And this man got on the bus with three small children. And those children were rowdy, running, misbehaving. And the father just sat with him. And this Pentecostal woman, she said, why don't you get those kids under control? And that sinner man looked and said, I'm sorry, ma'am, you're probably right. Let me try to get them under control. Forgive us. We've had a hard day. They just said goodbye to their mother. She died of cancer in that hospital where the bus just picked us up. But boy, we could draw out all the bad things in a person and not even realize that they're a soul going to hell. Wouldn't it have been better if that Pentecostal lady would have offered some help with the children? Some of y'all are so isolated. Stand to your feet. Father, I pray for a burden tonight, God. God, I can't give this church a burden. I can't give the watchers of this webcast a burden, but God, I could pray that you give us a burden. Raise your hands all over this building right now and pray and ask God to give us a burden. Father, I thank you for your word. Help us to turn minuses into pluses by having an outreach, by having a burden, by being soul conscious. Somebody raise their hands. Come on, Pastor, could you play and sing something for us? I just feel that we need to find a place to pray. I just feel that we need to find a place to pray and ask God to give us a burden here tonight. I'm going to find a place to pray with somebody. Pray with me tonight. Amen. God wants His church to rise.
To share all your burdens like no other can do.